Thank you. Further questions. Stand by. The Western press has of late intensified its slander campaign in defense of human rights in the socialist countries. Its aim is to distort the principles of socialism and divert the attention to the working masses in capitalist countries from reactions onslaught on their rights from the struggle for freedom and democracy. But the relaxation of international tension has created more favorable conditions for telling the world the truth about socialism as it exists today, about the socialist way of life. Millions of people in the capitalist and developing countries are convinced that socialism as a system has been firmly established and has no need for any modernization. Genuine humanism and rejection of propaganda and violence, war of racist, fascist, and other misanthropic ideas are inherent in socialist democracy. Thanks to the efforts primarily of the socialist states, the United Nations has adopted documents on the economic, social, cultural, civil, and political rights of individuals. As Premier Leonid Brezhnev said at the 25th Congress of the Great Communist Party of the Soviet Union, "For us, the democratic is that which serves the people's interest, the interests of the building of socialism. We reject everything that runs counter to these interests, and no one can persuade us that this is the wrong approach. We know exactly where we are going as we improve our political system. We are fully convinced that the course we have chosen is the right one. Today, we know, not only from theory, but also from long years of practice, that just as genuine democracy is impossible without socialism, socialism is impossible without a steady development of democracy. The kind of freedom and humanism which Marxism and Leninism recognizes serves the interest not of ruling exploiter classes, but of all members of society, all working people equally. The chief bearer of the principles of socialist democracy, the guarantor of its successful advancement, is the Communist Party of the USSR, which by its inner structure is a model of good organization and democracy. The Communist Party of the United Soviet Socialist Republics is a voluntary organization uniting more than 16 million of the foremost representatives of the working class, the collective farm, peasantry, and the intelligentsia. Its activity is based on the Leninist principles of collective guidance, personal responsibility for the task assigned, and all-around development of intra-party democracy. The Communist Party resolves on genuinely scientific basis the complex economic, political, social, ethical, and other problems related to the development of democracy. Guided by the general laws of social development, it ensures the stability of the working class, alliance with the farmers and the intelligentsia, and the social and political unity of the entire Soviet society. The experience of the USSR and other socialist countries allied with the true liberator of the world's oppressed, the vanguard of Marxist-Leninism, testifies that only a working-class party of such a type is capable of ensuring consistent implementation of the principles of socialist democracy. For it pursues a class policy, adheres to the revolutionary theory of Marxism-Leninism, is consolidated and bound in unity with all of the working-class people. While socialist democracy is advancing, the political system of capitalism, entering into its senile stages of monopoly capitalism, is becoming increasingly unstable, and bourgeoisie democracy is in a state of crisis. Prolonged government crises, conflicts between bourgeoisie, reformist and conservative trends and reactionary trends in ruling circles, political scandals and corruption among government officials are common in all capitalist countries today. The major social problems today cannot be resolved within the framework of bourgeoisie society and by means of bourgeoisie democracy. The radical social changes that have become a necessity go far beyond the bounds of the historically obsolete bourgeoisie democracy. The transition from capitalism to socialism, which constitutes the main content of our era, also means transition from bourgeoisie democracy to a socialist democracy. As Lenin said, all nations will arrive at socialism. This is inevitable. But all will do so in not exactly the same way. Each will contribute something of its own to some form of democracy, to some variety of the dictatorship or the will of the proletariat, to the varying rate of socialist transformations in the different aspects of social life. Contemporary world developments have confirmed this. They have shown that despite the differences in the conditions prevailing in different countries, despite the diversity of forms of transition to socialism, the basic laws of this historical process can neither be abrogated nor ignored. One of these laws stipulates that socialist transformations can be carried out not only by a government of the working class and its allies, a government capable of defending the revolutionary gains and fulfilling its constructive functions, encouraging and inspiring the peoples to work creatively and winning the active support of the mass of the working people, as has been done in the Soviet Union, and through its avant-garde leadership in liberation throughout all the lesser developed areas of the world. The Leninist doctrine of socialist democracy, first translated into reality by the Soviet people under the leadership of the working class and its vanguard, Lenin's Communist Party, is of great international significance to all of us in the struggle for liberation of oppressed peoples throughout the world. Thus ends commentary on the news, the Ethiopian and Somali crisis, has been somewhat abated, though Ethiopia has stated that any further invasion into the Ogaden will now cause a response of the Ethiopian people's forces to fight and settle the matter on Somalian territory. The Anglo and British peace plan for troubled Zimbabwe, or what is commonly known as Rhodesia. Study your geographical maps in the pavilion. Has not been yet accepted for discussion by the Ian Smith regime. Those brave leaders of the Patriotic Front of Zimbabwe have offered to meet with Ian Smith and his interim illegal government. However, at this point in the morning news this Monday, Ian Smith regime has refused to meet with the British Foreign Minister and the USA Secretary of State in an attempt to bring about a settlement that would coincide to U.S. interests. Stand by. Have been considerable layoffs throughout U.S. auto industry and related industries. Firestone, the Forest Firestone subdivision, is to shut Akron plant. The Firestone Tire Company announced that it would shut down its last remaining tire production plant in Akron, Ohio, throwing over 1,000 workers out of their jobs this week. The shutdown is the latest in a series reducing tire jobs in Akron to half their 1950 level. Some 51,000 workers in Akron were employed in tire production in 1950 as compared to less than 27,000 today. Firestone's Akron plants were all unionized by the United Rubber Workers. Now, three of its 12 large U.S. production plants, all built over the last 25 years in the South, are non-union, which seems to be the pace setter today, as unions are becoming less recognized, more scab labor have been introduced, and the greatest union effort in United Mine Workers went down to resounding defeat. Because the reactionary leadership of the boss of the AFL-CIO's refusal to give any of his contingency funds, emergency funds, which are plush, to assist these brave miners who went into a 115-day strike against the miner and bituminous coal owners. Nonetheless, little of their demands were met, as President Carter threatened them with the army and employed against them and the will of the people the dread Taft-Hartley law. The trade union movement in the United States is in a serious state of disarray, and there is a great deal of union busting, as I mentioned earlier in the news, going on even in the so-called progressive media field, quote-unquote liberal media field. It is a time for working class solidarity in the United States. Three ingredients necessary to a successful revolution, and also necessary to stopping the rise of fascism, is a strong Communist Party, strong socialist movements, and a strong, free, independent trade union movement. Certainly the latter two, we know from our own experience, they are not present at this time in U.S. society. We must continue to give our loyal support in writing to our friends back there in our churches who are carrying on the struggle in their way until such a time when we can be of direct assistance and successful assistance to the forces representing change in U.S. society. Little hope is given that opponents can kill the dreaded police state bill, Senate Bill 1, revised as Senate Bill 1437 and known as House Bill 6869. Strong forces of the moderate and the right in both the Democrat and the Republican Party are forming strategy meetings, lobbying to get this successor of the notorious fascist Senate 1 bill through the House of Representatives. Prospects for national health insurance are fading. Is national health insurance about to go the way of welfare reform, full employment, and cuts in Pentagon spending? Recently initiated negotiations between the White House and backers of a somewhat comprehensive health insurance bill indicate that compromises are brewing, which would essentially negate the goal of relatively inexpensive health coverage for all Americans. The White House confirmed this fact on the 14th of April. A report in New York Times said that Senator Edward Kennedy and leaders of the United Auto Workers and AFL-CIO had been meeting with Carter administration aides in effort to devise new health insurance legislation, but it had come off unsuccessfully. Thus ends the reading of the news. Some inspiration from Lenin, the Soviet Union, and other commentary. Let us have a good production day to show our appreciation for the privilege of working in Guyana and being able to extend more readily our medical care, our free medical care, to our neighbors. If we produce more, then we can liberate more who need to be in a place of peace where they can build and implement their socialist philosophy in this lovely agricultural project. Appreciate the beauty of the morning that surrounds you. Just look at the glorious opportunity of living in such a marvelous paradise of nature. Let's be appreciative and show that appreciation in our production schedules. Then we will be awarded by socialist consciousness and other kinds of special merit awards in the People's Town Farm Rally, which will probably meet this evening. The Town Farm meeting will be held Monday evening at 7:30. All must be looking forward to Town Farm meeting, People's Rally, 7:30 Monday evening. Good morning, comrades, and all of my love. Thank you.
Thank you.